few weeks ago, we started talking about truth, and then we've moved from that to the Logos, which is the Word of God. One of the original words in the New Testament for Word is Logos, and that is the complete expression. And we talked about how the entirety of God's Word is truth, Psalms 119:160. The entirety or the sum of your Word is truth. So the entire Scripture, all the body of Scripture is the Logos. It is God's expression to us. And what I want to talk to you about today is the other word that is used in the New Testament for Word, and it's Rhema. So, this is, I'm not going to be highly technical or take you into a bunch of really deep stuff, probably because I'm not really all that deep, but I'm just going to share some things with you that I hope will clarify in your mind how we are intended to use God's Word, how the Scripture can become alive to us and how it can change us. So, whether it's the Logos or the Rhema, they are both ways that God can speak to us through His written word and through a spoken word. Now, the Logos is the entirety of it. The Rhema literally means an utterance. So it's like when God speaks a word that is pointed, it's specific for a certain thing. So I would say it's sort of like knowledge is information, but wisdom is knowing how to use the information so that it works correctly and it helps you. And that's sort of the way these two words are. The Logos is the entirety of what God says, but the Rhema is what God says to you when you need specific guidance or direction, when something is going on in your life where you need Him to speak. That's when it becomes a Rhema word. It becomes alive to you so that you can use it for what you need. And we're going to share some scriptures, but I think it's really important to understand that all of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture is inspired by God and it's profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished to all good works. So in that verse, it says the Scripture. It doesn't say the Word, but the Scripture is the entirety of what God has revealed. So it's as if the entirety of what God says, it's profitable for us to use, to study, for our doctrine, for what we believe. But it's also, it can become a revealed truth to us for correction or reproof or instruction or to help make us complete, thoroughly furnished to all good works. So the Word of God becomes alive to us and it begins to speak to us in areas that we need to be changed. And we all need to be changed. I mean, that's a great starting point to acknowledge that you need to be changed. I've been at this a while, and I realize every day more and more I need to be changed. The more I become like Jesus, the more I also realize I'm still lacking. I'm not like Him because new areas become apparent to me where I'm not like Him. And what I have found is that the people that we are closest to are the people that help bring about change in our life, or at least in theory, because your spouse and people that you work closely with or people that you're around a lot, you can be easily offended or hurt by those people, and you can be challenged by those people also, because we have a great expectation from one another that we will help each other. And we make assumptions, and that's always a bad thing to make assumptions, but we assume that the other person is going to do what we want them to do and that they're going to do it with a wonderful attitude, and they're going to do it right when we want it, and it's all going to be just hunky-dory. And usually when we make those kind of assumptions, we get disappointed. And then when you get disappointed, then you start, you know, you have issues, you get upset. And so when you realize I'm not everything that I'm supposed to be, and you're not willing to stay that way, that's a good thing. You know, just knowing that you're a slob doesn't help you, but if you don't want to be a slob forever, that could help you. You could actually change. But if you're content just to stay the same way that you are, then having that knowledge or that information doesn't really benefit you. But when you have that knowledge or information, you say, okay, I'm going to act on that. I'm going to do something with it. That's what I'm really talking about. God's Word becoming alive to us in such a way that it's like, oh, I see what I've needed to do, and I see now how I can do that. And so you begin to act on it. God's Word can change us when we begin to respond that way. There's a few real simple verses I want to give you about this word, rhema. You remember the story about Jesus when it was before he even called all the disciples, but Peter and his buddies had been fishing all night, hadn't caught a thing. And Jesus said, throw your net out on the side of the boat there. And they said, well, we've been doing it all night long and we hadn't caught a thing. And well, okay, but nevertheless, at your word, at your rhema, we'll do it. And what happened? They got a big, huge net full. They almost sunk their boat. It's pretty cool. That was a rhema expression from Jesus. He was saying that this was a word that was specific for that situation right then that would change things. How about the story about Peter when Jesus told him, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. When the second, the Bible says that Peter remembered the rhema that Jesus said to him. He remembered those specific words of revelation. Jesus said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every rhema be established. Let every word be established. That's a quote from the law, a quote from the written scripture, and Jesus was saying it as the revealed, the rhema of scripture. It was like it became alive to people in the mouth of two or three witnesses. I'm beginning to see that throughout the whole scripture. You know, it's not just originally it was used in a way to protect people from false accusations, really. You can't just, one person can't say they did me wrong. It has to be two or three people that agree and say we all are giving the same testimony. So, but then when you start reading the New Testament, you see it over and over again in all kinds of places where in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. Jesus said, if I bear witness to myself, it doesn't really mean a whole lot, but my Father bears witness of me, and the Word bears witness of me, and I bear witness of myself, so now we got all three. So that witness is true. And there's other places where you find that. Paul said, you know, I've come to you guys at Corinth, and I've told you what you ought to do, what you ought not to do, and now I've written you a letter, I'm sending you a second letter, and when I come, I'm going to set things in order. And he said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. He said, I've already talked to you about it once, already talked to you about it twice, and I'm going to come and talk to you about it a third time, and that's going to be, it's going to be right then, because we're going to make it right. So the word word is translated mostly as logos in the New Testament, but the word rhema is used quite a few times. And I'm not trying to say that the words couldn't be used interchangeably in most cases, because the Word of God is alive, right? That's what Hebrews says, Hebrews 4. The Word of God is alive and it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that the Word of God is alive. The Word of God can become alive to us at any moment when we need it. We just have to receive what the Lord is saying to us. God speaks to us through His spoken word and the written word. I read this to you last week, but I'm going to read just the first part of it. Deuteronomy 29, the last verse of that chapter, it says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." And in that verse, he's saying, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed, they are revealed to us so that we can do what you have said for us to do. It's kind of like Logos and Rhema. You know, we got the whole Logos, we got the whole entirety of your word, but you give us that revealed portion so that we can do what you've told us to do in the entirety of your word. It all makes sense if you think of it that way, that God is giving us a revelation of Himself so that we can do the things that He's called us to do. Peter, in John chapter 6, he made a great statement. Now, Jesus had been talking about he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven, and you're going to have to, you know, if you believe in me, you're going to have to eat my body and you're going to have to drink my blood." And everybody was kind of like, that's creepy. We don't want that, you know. And so he explained it a little further, and basically what he was saying is, you have to be partaking of me and my sacrifice. If you want to have life, that's what you got to do. And he says that a lot of the followers went back from that point forward, and Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, "Are you all going to go away too?" And Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the rhema. You have the words of eternal life. And we've also come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was a moment when Peter was like, you know, you're the only one that can speak life to us. You're the only one that can speak life to us. On all the things that we talk about here, I hope that you get that part, that Jesus is the only one that can speak life into you. It's not me. It's not Pastor Jeff. It's not Mitz. It's not Eddie up here singing, leading us in worship. None of us can speak life into you. Jesus has the words of life. He's the one that can speak words that will make you come alive and make you able to do the things that you're called to do. He alone has the words of life. Then in Ephesians 6, Paul's telling the Ephesians that they need to put on the whole armor. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." The sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema. The sword of the Spirit. And he doesn't say the battle axe. He doesn't say a club. He says the sword of the Spirit. It is the revelation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, of God's word for what is necessary at that moment, whether it's an attack from the devil, whether it's a situation that's come up in your life where you need wisdom, where you need direction, whatever it might be, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and applies what is needed in your life at that moment. Now, if you go into a battle with a battle axe, you know, it's not going to be very precise. You're just going to be, you know, clubbing and hacking and, well, that, I'd like, you know, those movies, Braveheart and those things, when you see those big armies just clashing and everybody is like, how do they even know who they're hitting? And, you know, it's just such chaos. That is not the sword of the Spirit. Do you understand? The sword of the Spirit, it's a double-edged sword. It is very precise. It's like a surgical instrument. And by the way, we as Christians sometimes are guilty of this. Someone says, I've got this thing going on in my life. Like, well, brother, I'm going to tell you how you, boy, just start quoting these scriptures. It's like we've got this big battle axe and we just start clubbing them. You know, this is what you need to do. And what really needs to happen is we need to let the Holy Spirit speak life into them. And sometimes that would be with like a surgical precision, and we just trim a little bit here and there and let God speak life. Instead of us beating them over the head with a big club, let God speak life to them. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So it is a part of our armor. It's a part that we need to be able to use every day if we're going to be effective. Having done all, stand. We need the whole armor. If you've got a weapon that is available to you, you need to use it. Because we are in a battle. Every day, we are in a struggle against principalities and powers, and Paul says it all. It's not flesh and blood. Sometimes you may think you're battling against flesh and blood because you're having a conflict with a person, but that person is just, it is a source of aggravation or something that's going on, and you really need to treat everything as though it were a spiritual struggle or a spiritual battle. If you don't treat things as spiritual, you're pretty much going to get whooped, you know, because if you try to do everything in the flesh, you try to do everything with your knowledge, with your expertise, your skills, your gifts, your talents, you're pretty much going to fail, I can promise you. But if you do it as a spiritual thing where you're trusting in what God has provided, what God has done, now you can be walking in victory because He has provided the victory, and He said that we are more than conquerors through Him. That's a whole different approach to our situations and issues of life. Allow God to speak life instead of us trying to respond out of our natural man. Respond with the Word of God through our spiritual man. The Word is alive. John 1, John said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the same was God. The Word, Logos, and then it goes on down and it says, and the Word, the Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus was the Word of God at creation, and then He became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, not just as a guy, but He was the very express image of God in person. That's what the Logos is. It is God's fullness expressed in a physical form that we could see. Jesus was the full expression of God. Hebrews 1 says, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the rhema of His power. Hallelujah. So Jesus was the very express image of God, and He upholds all things by that revelation word, that word that brings life. Having a knowledge of God is not enough. We have to have a knowledge of who God really is. We have to believe that He is who He says He is. Believe that He'll do what He said He did. You know, if you just believe that there's a God, you know, the Bible says the demons even believe in that and tremble. That doesn't mean anything. Everybody can acknowledge God. What we really need to do is learn to know God as God our Father, who wants to be part of every aspect of our life, all day long, every day. He wants to be there. He wants to walk with us. He wants to encourage us. And when we stub our toe, He wants to help us back up. You fall flat on your face, He wants to get down and pick you up. He'll dust off your knees and say, I love you. Come on, it's okay. If we see God that way, there's not anything that life can present to you that you can't handle. Matter of fact, that's even a promise in the Scripture that Jesus, because He experienced temptation at every point, just like we are, Jesus knows how to comfort us when we're tempted. Jesus knows how to walk us through temptations and troubles and trials because He's been there. He experienced all the total range of emotions. Rejection. Expect to experience a little bit of fear every now and then. Fearful about what was going to happen. He wasn't fearful like we are, but He knew what it was like to have unknown stuff out in front of you that you're going to have to deal with. To know that you've got pain coming. You've got sorrow coming. You've got all kinds of problems coming your way. Jesus knows how to help us walk through those difficult times in our life because He's been there. He's walked through it. He knows how to do it. And He wants to bring that revelation of how to do it to us. Matthew 4, Jesus was tempted by the devil after He was baptized. It says He was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterward He was hungry. I reckon so. I always think about that. That's odd that it says that. I would be hungry after fasting for about a half a day, not to mention 40 days. Now, when the tempter came to Him, He said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Yeah. That's why it says He was hungry, because the tempter was using His hunger, His physical need, as a way of tempting Him. So, sometimes you're hungry, sometimes you're tired, sometimes you're sleepy, sometimes you're feeling grouchy. Really, none of that really matters. God still wants us to respond in love and kindness and gentleness the way that we're supposed to respond. That was a side note. So, the devil tempted Him and said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's that word that God speaks in that moment that we have a temptation or a struggle or a trial or a problem. It's that word that comes to our mind. That's the word that can bring life and victory and power to set us free. Notice, though, that Jesus said it is written. So He knew the Scripture. He knew the Logos. He knew the entirety of Scripture, and the Holy Spirit was able to draw from the bank, so to speak. You know, if you don't have any money in the bank, you can't write a check. You got to have made some deposits. If you want to be able to withdraw from the bank account, there's got to be something in there. And the only way the Holy Spirit can really bring you revelation of truth is if you got some truth stored in your heart and in your mind. So we have to read the Word of God. We have to study the Word of God. We have to learn the Word of God. In Romans 10, Paul says, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who will ascend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who come upon or call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, these verses, are that's what Paul is quoting, says basically the very same thing, except in parentheses in your Bible, if you look at that, you know, where it says, who's going to go and ascend and bring Christ up from the abyss or to bring him down from heaven? That's not in the Old Testament. But it does say, the word is near you. It's right here. It's not so far away. It's not so distant. It's not so difficult for you. It's just right here. It's in your mouth. It's right here. It's just here. And Paul's talking about it. He says, the rhema is right here. The revealed word, it's right here. He's taken the written word, Paul, and he is bringing it and expressing it in a way that it becomes the rhema word. He is saying, this is what was meant by that. This is the truth that you need to understand from that Old Testament scripture. The rhema. It's right here. It's right here. It's close. It, matter of fact, it's even in your mouth. Just speak it. Speak it out. Whatever God is saying to you, believe it in your heart. Speak it with your mouth. Because everyone who believes, it says that whether you're Jew or Greek or Gentile, doesn't matter. All who call upon the name of the Lord, God is going to be rich. He's going to be rich towards all who call upon the name of the Lord. That's good. That's good. I want God to be rich towards me. Hebrews 11:3. And worship team, you guys can come on back. We're going to wrap this up. I'm not feeling real long-winded this morning. Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith, we understand that the worlds, that word framed, means set in order. Everything was set in order by the rhema of God, by the utterance of God. He spoke it into existence. He set it in order. And we know that by faith because we receive and believe what is revealed to us in the scripture. God spoke everything into existence. He set it all in order by the utterance of his mouth. And so for us, what I want to say to you is that God wants to, he wants to speak into your life, and he wants to set everything in order. All right? Will you believe that? We've all got areas where we've got some chaos. We've all got areas where we've got brokenness. We've got areas that we've got struggles. God wants to speak into each one of us. He wants us to hear the utterance that says, I'm setting it in order. All those areas that are out of whack, I'm gonna fix them. I'm gonna put them in order. That's what I want to encourage you to do. Hear from God. Hear from God. He wants to speak to each one of us. And it's not too hard. It's not too far away. It's right here. It's just so close. All you gotta do is just let him speak it to you, and then you begin to speak it. You begin to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's what I agree with what you say. Yes, I am a conqueror through him who loved me. Yes, Lord. I have peace because you are our peace. Yes, Lord. I have been delivered. I am being delivered, and I'm yet going to be delivered because you are my deliverer. God has these beautiful, wonderful things he wants to say to us, and he wants us to walk in an abundant life. We just have to believe what he says. We have to know what he's saying about us. He came to his own rejected him, but to as many as received him, hallelujah, to as many as received him, he gave them the power or the right to become sons or children of God. That's who we are. If we've accepted Jesus, that's who we are. We are God's children, and he wants to bless us, and he wants us to live like his children, not live like failures, not live like defeated people, but he wants us to be happy and productive, and he wants us to be blessed. He wants us to walk in all the favor of the King. If you're in the kingdom, walk in the favor of the King. Hallelujah. That's what God wants us to do. He wants to pour his Spirit out on us in such a way that we'll know and believe what he says about us. More than all the other voices we hear, more than all the other things that come our way, we want to believe what he says. He says, you are my beloved, hallelujah, and I'm pouring out good stuff on you. I'm going to do something that is like no other people on the earth has ever seen. You're going to be a special people to me. Hallelujah. You're going to be different from every other person. You're going to be special, a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. You're going to be kings and priests to God. What a thrill to know that that's what God says about us. You're not a loser. You're a child of the King. Let's stand and worship. I just want you to think about that. He wants to make things new in your life this morning. All those things that the devil tries to tell you, just begin to think about what God is saying about you. Let him speak his living word into you so that you can be changed today. Don't put it off. Today is the day he can change you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you.
thank you, Lord, for delivering us. Lord, I thank you that you are working in us. And I thank you so much, Lord, that you never give up on us. You never refuse us. You never reject us. You're always extending your open arms to us. You're calling us. And you're inviting us to come, Lord, because you want us to experience your love. You want us to come like little children, Lord, that we would just come and say, here I am. Here I am. Hold me. Thank you for that, Lord, that you never reject us. I'm so grateful, Lord, that when I come to you, even when I've messed up and I'm coming to have to ask forgiveness, I know that you never reject me. You always receive me. You always receive me. You embrace me, Lord. I thank you so much for that. Not every human will receive me that way, but you do, Lord. And I thank you. I never have to worry about you rejecting me. I never have to worry about you refusing me. You're always receiving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah.
Well, that's what I desire, is that God would just pour out His Spirit on me, that He would just change me, that He would cover me with His love and His forgiveness and His blessing and His goodness. I want to be covered up with it. I want to be a gusher for Jesus. I'll tell you what. I want it flowing in me, out of me, going everywhere. I want His love and His light to just come out of me like water coming out of a sieve. Oh, God, we need You this morning. We don't need more information. We don't need more stuff. We need more of You, Lord. More of You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank You that You are speaking to us. You spoke to us in times past through the prophets, but now, these days, You're speaking to us through Your Son, who is the very brightness and the express image of You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You came and gave Yourself for us so that we can know You, that we can experience the Father. Thank You for making a new and living way through the veil, which is Your flesh, Lord. Oh, God, I thank You that we can know You. Thank You that we can know You. We don't have to be separated by our sin or our failures, but we can know You. We can walk right up to You and say, "Here I am. Here I am." Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Well, I can't let you go without giving you one last challenge. If you don't know Jesus today, it's a great opportunity. You can come down here to the front. I'll meet you. We can talk about it. I'll lead you in a simple prayer, and you can give your life to Jesus. If you don't know what I've been talking about, you're wondering, what does all that mean? It's real simple. It's not that hard. It's not far away. The Word is near you. It's just right there. All you have to do is say, "Here I am, Jesus." If you need Jesus, come see me. I'll meet you at the altar. If you need prayer for anything else, Mitch and Sandy and maybe Jeff and Peggy, some other folks will meet you at the altar and pray with you. Oh, God, we thank You that You've been here this morning. We need You, Lord. Go with us now. Go with us now. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His perfect peace. Hallelujah. Go in the name of the Lord. Be blessed. And don't forget, we have men's meetings, women's meetings. We got all kinds of good things. Wednesday night, we have adult Bible study. We got good food to eat. We're going to be talking about some really interesting things on Wednesday night. So make yourself available to God. He wants to speak to you. Make yourself available to Him. Give Him your ear. Go in Jesus' name. Amen.